Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on the show. As you know, it is my passion and mission in life and with this radio show to bring inspirational people to your attention, talk about what they're doing to change the world, bring issues out in the forefront that aren't really talked about in the mainstream media. So it is my pleasure to talk about a very fascinating take on something that might not be such an enjoyable topic. Today we're going to talk about autism, and we're talking with someone who is just a pioneer, a brilliant mind, a trailblazer in the field, and she does some really amazing things with autism, kids, and horses. And I'll bring her on in a minute, but the reason I really wanted to do this show is because we hear all these statistics. You know, in 2012, the CDC reported 1 in 88 children would have autism. Guess what? We've had a 30% increase from just 2 years ago. Now the Centers for Disease Control for 2014 estimates that 1 in 68 children will have autism. 1 in 42 boys. It's the fastest growing serious developmental disability in the U.S. Boys are 5 times more likely to have autism than girls. And autism costs a lot of money. It takes over $60,000 a year for average care for the autistic child. So even if you're blessed and your children don't have autism, and maybe there's no autism in your family, this is an important topic, because what if it happens with your grandkids, your great niece, your great nephew, your great grandkids? At this alarming rate, you know, it's an issue we should all be concerned about. Today we're going to talk to, like I said, a trailblazer in the autism field. Her name is Kira Willis. She grew up on a dirt road in rural Ontario. When her family's goats proved too unruly to pass as ponies, she persuaded her parents to let her begin riding lessons, and thus began her life in earnest. A rider, nomad, and horsewoman, Willis completed her Facilitator of Equine Experiential Learning certificate in 2010, and in 2012 launched her equine teaching business, Mountain Horse School, in Squamish, BC. In 2013, she traveled to Elgin, Texas, and immersed herself in a 4-month intensive apprenticeship in Horse Boy Method, and gave a TEDx talk on autism and interspecies tribe at Burning Man Festival. She is currently working as a special needs assistant at the Whistler Waldorf School, and will begin offering sessions again, as Mountain Horse School will be offering different workshops and sessions in the spring of 2015. For more information on Kira and her offerings, please visit her website, mountainhorseschool.com, or her blog, centerofthemovingworld.wordpress.com. Kira, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, you know, I'm so inspired about the person that you are and the work that you're doing. I just, you know, if I had a child with special needs, I would be shipping them to Canada to be with you. And I have a feeling once the audience finds out about what you're doing with these kids and how you see them, that they would want to do the same thing. So can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to get involved with these kids and also incorporate the horses and the therapy that you work with?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story. I first encountered autism through the daughter of a man that I was with. And I was really fortunate that that was my introduction, because she was and is such a magical being. And the way that everyone approached her in her life was as a very special person and not as someone with a disability. And so I got to encounter her with a great degree of magic. I remember we did a recording of, she had a few sort of scripts that she would go through, and she had one that was a list of all of the kinds of pie she doesn't like. And it was, I don't like apple pie, and I don't like banana pie, and I don't like cream pie, and I don't like pecan pie, and it would go on forever and ever and ever. And there's just something that I noticed in her, and that has remained a similarity with everyone that I've encountered with autism, and even other special needs as well, but particularly autism, is that there's a certain quality of joy there, and a certain quality of presence. And while I don't want to belittle the difficulties of being autistic in the current society that we have, I want to just sort of have a chance to talk about looking at it with a slightly different perspective. So from there, I ended up sort of just falling into various roles. I supported some twins on the spectrum for a year as a personal assistant for a family. I led a couple farm tours when I moved to BC for young adults with autism, looking at career possibilities. And really just these moments kept sticking with me of absolute magic, where there was something happening there that was bigger than what I understood and probably understand now, but I know that it's something that I feel like we desperately need at this point in our lives. And so I kept following it. And then at one point, I lost my job. I was working as a florist, which was not a life calling, but it was a job nonetheless. And the newspaper fell open to an ad for a special needs assistant at Whistler Waldorf School. And I got the job. And so I've been supporting. This is my second year with the same boy, actually. He's now in grade 5. And I had last year off to do my learning adventure down to Texas, which I'll talk about more. But that's sort of been my journey and how I've gotten involved in this. And then when I started working at the Waldorf School, my job was, and you know, still is, to support this boy in the context of a classroom. And so there's a lot of sitting and there's a lot of academic work. And it's, you know, it's a school, it's an alternative school, but there's still things that need to be followed. And I would run into these impasses of behavior. And I would just intuitively think, you know, if I had my horse here, I could help move through it. But I was in a classroom, so that wasn't a possibility. And then the opportunity came up to pursue learning horse boy method. And so that is a special form of therapeutic riding specific to autism and other neurological conditions. So it's specific to working with the brain. And so that was sort of when it started to all come together for me in terms of being able to combine horses and autism in one place.
Well, it's funny how, you know, things happen and the newspaper fell open, the universe was calling you to this work, because it feels to me, as you have talked to me off air before this show about the work you do, that this was your destiny. This is such a calling for you, and we need more people like you, and maybe you can inspire others, because the work that you do is unique. It's not like there's, you know, you open up the phone book and you can pick all of these programs with horses and working with autistic kids. You know, it's just far and few between. So can you talk a little bit about what inspired you with the horses, you know, in your beginning journey with these kids?
Yes. I guess I might begin actually by talking about what didn't inspire me. Quite a few years ago, I volunteered for a traditional therapeutic riding barn, and they were doing a lot of wonderful things in terms of giving kids an opportunity to be on horses, but it was lacking in joy and fun. And some of the instructors I remember were getting frustrated at the kids for talking and laughing too much during their session. And I thought, well, this is not the way that this should be. I mean, this is the highlight of their week. So can we not do it in a way that it can be fun and a game and an adventure? And so partway through my time at the Waldorf School, I rediscovered Horse Boy Method, and I'll just talk a little bit about that, and because that's been like such a huge influence in what I'm doing with horses. So it was founded by a man named Rupert Isaacson, who took his autistic son across Mongolia on horseback, and found that there was a huge reduction in sort of the negative symptoms of his son's autism. He was able to have conversations and really just kind of came out of himself after that journey ended. And so Horse Boy Method has come out of that catalyst and was working to bring autistic people together with horses in hopes that it can not heal or cure autism, but help bring the intellect to the fore and make it more pleasurable for them to be in this body on this earth. And so a lot of it is sensory work, so bringing them onto the back of a horse that is not even saddled, so it's skin-to-skin contact, and then you get serotonin release. So that's the common connect hormone, and it happens when we touch a dog, it happens when we pet a cat, and it calms the body and makes you sort of want to connect. And then the riding is such a joyful, euphoric experience, and there's some more hormones that happen there. Oxytocin is the big one. That's like the feel-good hormone, so you get a big rush of sort of this pleasurable feeling. But sort of what the combination of all of this does is it lowers cortisol levels, and there's been studies documented that autistic folk have overactive amygdalas, which is the fear center of the brain. So they're always running these cortisol loops of fear and hypersensitivity and hyperarousal. And so what the horses do is they just sort of drop all of this down into the ground. And prior to doing any of the Horse Boy work, I had done an equine guided learning certificate. So spent 6 months and actually quite a few years of my life immersed in looking at the healing possibilities of being with horses. And so there's things that happen there in terms of resonance between a very huge animal, which is very connected to the senses, very grounded in their body, because horses still live very close to their instincts despite how long they've been living in captivity. And they have the ability, just by standing in their presence, to sort of drop us into their bodies, into our bodies, because they're so large. We're suddenly forced to be very aware of where we are on the earth and where our feet are. And so from there, with a little bit of guidance, it's easy to be led into being connected and being more sort of in the animal body. And that I've found is also very beneficial as well.
So I don't know a lot about autism, but from a little bit that I've noticed, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of touch therapy with these kids, because some of them seem like they don't like to be touched. How do they act to the horse? You know, like, are they afraid of the horses, or do they, you know, this would be a beautiful documentary, actually, if there's any filmmakers listening, independent filmmakers. How do they react? You know, because you can see this. We're on the radio trying to picture this in our minds.
Yeah.
How do the kids act when they approach the horse? Have they already put in their mind it's going to be okay? And so, or, like, what did you notice?
The thing about autism is it's so dependent on the individual. So there is a different reaction for every single person I've worked with. Anything from, oh yeah, mom just plunked me on a horse and we're walking around and it's all good and it's an adventure, let's go, to just completely ignoring the horse as if it's like a tree in the background, to actually not wanting to be involved. There's really only been a couple of kids I've worked with who have had an aversion to being with the horses. And in that case, I mean, there's lots of things you can do. I mean, just because they're not actively engaging with them doesn't mean there's not something happening there. But I've also, with some of the kids who are not super engaged, there's a lot of other things you can play with. You can, maybe you want to put mom up and put the kid up with her, or maybe a brother goes for a ride, or maybe you just pop them up for a few seconds in part of a flying game where they're pretending they're an airplane, and you pop them up and then zoom them back down. And I've found that once they're up there and once the movement is happening, you're usually good to go. And then the adventure can begin.
That's just amazing, you know, and that's a good point you brought up, because I think a lot of us who aren't educated on autism think it is kind of a one-size-fits-all, and you just taught me something, how individualized these kids are and their needs. And so before we go to commercial break, we have a few more minutes. Do you want to talk a little bit about, like, in general, you know, how this, combining this horse therapy with working with these autistic kids, what you see as, like, your vision of it? And then when we come back from commercial, I want to hear about some stories, okay?
Sure.
And the magic.
Sure. I feel like my vision of it is in such a place of beginning. I can sort of philosophize about it. But part of, I think, what autism and horses is about for me personally is there's a new definition of autism that's emerging from communities of autistics themselves, and it's that it's a neurological variant, not necessarily that it's a disorder, but that it's a different way of being and perceiving in the world, a different way of perceiving your relationships, a different way of feeling your experience here on this earth. And part of the biggest training for me in terms of working with autism is having worked with horses and having worked through the equine guided learning sort of side of things, and looking at horses as a being with its own spirit, with its own mind, with its own autonomy and way of being in the world. And then looking at that as, what is there that I can learn from this? And how is what is happening in this moment meant, like, how can I translate that into the rest of my life? Like, what can I learn from this experience? Not how can I mold it to be something that I want, but what sort of opening or openness is there, and if I step through and accept that invitation, what lies on the other side? I don't have an answer for that question, but I mean, we seem to be in a place as a race of animals we like to call humans that we think we know all of the answers to everything. And so what I feel like approaching autism and animals in this way is it gives us a moment to step into an emptiness of not knowing what happens next, which is where the magic creeps in, which is where I think the real deep sort of evolutionary learning happens.
Well, you are the future, and your generation is going to change everything. And I am so inspired by the work you're doing. And see, now that answer you just gave without giving an answer, that's exactly why I wanted you on this show, because that is the younger generation. And, you know, I feel like all of us, you know, in our late 40s up to the, you know, 60s and 70s, that group of people, that it's our job to help you guys get out there, because you are what we always had a vision of for working with autistic kids, but for whatever reason it just didn't come to fruition, and we can change everything. And so I love that. You're so inspirational. We're going to go to commercial now. And when we come back, we're going to speak more with Kara Willis, and she is founder of the Mountain Horse School in British Columbia.
We Would you like a tool to clear your energy field and raise your vibration instantly? Solfeggio Sound Healing from Earthly Frequencies is a new CD created to bring you earthly healing vibrations combined with higher dimensional galactic energy. Use this sound healing for meditation, massage therapy, releasing negativity, and astral travel. Solfeggio Sound Healing by Ted Winslow. Now available on iTunes and Amazon.com. Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish? Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom-tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Hello, I am Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science coaching certification program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're having an enlightening and engaging and beautifully, energetically magical conversation today about autism and horses and what's actually possible. Kara, you talked a little bit about that you don't even have a vision of it because you're keeping the energy and the possibilities open for the magic to come in. And you are such a magical being yourself. I'm just thrilled to have this conversation with you today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But okay, so let's talk about the magic, because you see things through such a different lens than most people. And I've had the pleasure of reviewing your writing and working with you on a separate project with your writing, which is absolutely inspired and beautiful. And that's how I got to know Kara. So could you talk a little bit about the magic and maybe a particular child and horse, or tell us a story about how you do this, what you've observed?
Sure. There is a young man, a boy who I worked with in Ontario this summer, who's been popping into my thoughts a lot lately, so I'll tell his story. He came to us just for one session. I was working in Ontario on a therapeutic place called Heal with Horses, and we were doing a lot of autism work over the summer. And he came to us with his grandparents. He was on vacation. They had no idea what to expect. And he, from the moment he got out of the van, was a verb. He was running, jumping, leaping, playing, exploring. And we were just following him. And that's one of the sort of main ways in which I go about doing this work, is I don't come in with an agenda. I come in with, I might have an intent, I might have a hope for where I would like something to go and where I might like to end up an hour from now, but I am there to be open to following the child in where they are going and what they are doing. And so we ran around the farm, and he was the most creative person I have ever had or done a session with up till this point. And we were going to do a parade, and so we were getting hats and paints, and we painted the horse, and we got ourselves ready, and we needed a banner, and we went into the house, and we got paper for a map of our parade, and the grandparents were in it, and the pigs were going to be in it, and all the cars, and it was so exciting. We were running all over the place. And then I sort of realized, after following him for a while, that we needed to change that energy a little bit. It was a little bit frantic, and I wanted to see where we could go if we made it into a little bit of a calmer space. And so one of our horses was ready waiting, And this is always a group effort. So we had a couple other people with us that day helping out. And so we got him up onto a horse and I said, let's just go, like, let's trot until he becomes present up there. Because quite often when you put them up for the first time, they want to get off. But if you move a little bit, then the body sort of realizes it's okay. And so we started moving, and then a whole new world emerged. And suddenly we were warriors with swords fighting off crocodiles. And the boy wanted to turn around backwards in the saddle in order to look behind us for what he called the hide behinds. And I was like, well, what's a hide behind? And he told me they're creatures who can make themselves really thin and they hide behind trees, and you only know they're there because they make a sound. He goes, and so we get him turned around safely, so he's backwards, and we have two of us on one on either side of him as ground support, and someone's leading the horse. So he's supported through this whole experience, and we have our foam swords, and he's got a foam sword up on the saddle, and he's like keeping a lookout for these hide behinds. And we have this ridiculous adventure in the backfield of sword fighting invisible things, and then we head back to the van and we tuck him back in, and his grandparents are like, he doesn't usually talk to strangers. Like, the fact that you just had this hour with him is incredible. And then I was talking to a friend of mine shortly after that, who is a pipe carrier in Ontario with some of the elders there. And she told me, you know, when I told her that story, and she said, well, in every Indigenous culture in the world, there are spirits that hide behind a person who is living, and it is the job of shamans or healers to, you know, keep an eye out for those spirits and make sure that they don't harm the people who are living. And, you know, who knows if that's what he was actually seeing and what he was doing, but what a much more beautiful way to interpret it than looking at it, you know, in black and white terms of whether it's acceptable we had this whole hour of make-believe or not. And I think that what he got out of us stepping into his world for an hour is so much validation for being able to be a human on the planet.
Well, I'll tell you, I kind of believe the shaman take on it, because from what I've perceived from people that I've known who are autistic is they're extremely psychic, and they can pick up, and I'm wondering if he picked up on the energies of the area, if there's a lot of shamanism and you know, in Ontario for the native people, and that's amazing, you know, that he picked up on that. I think I'd go with that.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's where the magic is, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about, have you picked up on any communication from the horses, you know, when you're working? Because you have to be extremely intuitive to do the work that you do without having, you know, it's not like you have a lesson plan with your clipboard. And
yeah, you're like, I just don't expect to follow it.
You're like, I just show up with an intention. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So, you know, what do you pick up with these horses? You know, because there's so much wisdom these horses have. Mm-hmm. And do you have anything to share with on that side of it?
Well, I mean, specifically with the autism work, there's so much preparation that goes on with the horses behind the scenes that nobody knows about. And in the moment, it looks like you're just throwing a kid up there and cantering off down a trail. But in reality, there is hours and hours and hours and hours of time in making sure that the horse is ready to meet you in that adventure, and that they want to, and that they're physically able to. While I was in Ontario, I had the chance to sort of start with a raw herd of 11 horses and figure out from them who wanted to do this kind of work with the autistic kids. And I mean, part of my exploration of that was very, you know, mainstream in terms of training and assessing, you know, is this horse sound enough to do this, and looking at it through that lens. But then I also needed them to really decide that they wanted to do that work. If you have a horse that, you know, maybe you're riding a dressage test and you can sort of coax it out of them or force it out of them in the moment if you really need to make something happen. But if you're riding with, you know, your right arm around the shoulders of a kid and the reins in your left hand, and you ask the horse to turn right and it decides that it's not on your team anymore and it doesn't really want to turn right, you have a serious problem. You need to know that they're really on board. And that's a balance between training and between the horse really sort of deciding that they want to take on this work. And one of the horses that emerged as being a candidate for this, he was having some physical issues and was making the grouchiest faces I've ever seen a horse make, ever. And I'd sort of just been really easy on him and like, okay, it looks like you're sore today, so we'll put you away. And then slowly, just he kept coming to the gate and saying, well, not literally saying, but like I just kept getting the feeling from him, like, don't put me away, like, I'm trying to work it out. And so eventually he emerged as being like our number one riding therapy horse. But it was a long process, and it was about 4 months of sort of steady work and a sort of light sessions and just seeing what emerged out of that. And he really stepped up, and you could see it in his face. Like when I did the session with the boy, I just talked about his grandparents said, he looks like one of the therapy dogs when they know that they're on. And he was just standing at the hitching post and his, you know, his ears were at half mast and he was resting, but you could see from his face that he was like, whenever you need me, I'm ready. And that's what you need to find. And I don't think that you would find that in every horse. Like I'd ever heard of 11, we found 2.
Well, that's an important thing to bring up, because just because, you know, you've had a lot of success with this, but you've put in years of training. So even if people out there have horses, don't take it lightly with these autistic kids, because, you know, horses have that flight response. Mm-hmm. And if the horse is not trained and prepared, like you said, and you don't have someone skilled with in horsemanship and educated on how to deal with autistic kids at the same time, you know, it could be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. So,
and the thing is with autism is that, I mean, quite often in regular riding schools, there's almost an expectation that the kids are going to come off eventually. Like you have a fall, you get back on. That's sort of a course of learning how to ride. But with autistic kids, you're usually not going to get another chance. If something goes down and something happens, they're probably not going to get back up on the horse. And so you need to do everything in your power to make sure that it goes well. And that means being very, very rigorous. And this is, you know, one of the huge things I took away from my apprenticeship with the horse boy folks is the absolute adherence to really making sure that everyone is safe and the horses are as prepared as possible.
Well, think about this. I mean, people who don't have autism who get scared and it scares the horse, mm-hmm. you know, imagine, you know, and I've known people that have broken bones and, you know, from falling off of horse. And then you have a child who has these special challenges. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they have that response where they're constantly, what that loop you said.
The amygdala, yeah, the fear centers are activated.
That fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the work that I'm doing, it's not expected that they emerge as riders. So it's not expected that they're ever going to be alone in control of a horse. If they want to do that and we can work towards that, then that's great. But it's more they're working with the horse as a meeting point for adventure and transformation and cultivation of relationships and all of those sort of physical, physiological factors that we talked about earlier, it's not a riding lesson. It's very much something different than that. So,
well, what you've really helped teach me, as well as some other people on the project, I had Wendy Golding of Horse Connections on my show in the last station a few months ago. And what I've really learned from you guys is that you don't have to ride the horse. The horse can heal you, and the horse can be a healer just by being in your presence, you know, and that is just wonderful, because so many people look at horses in the old traditional way of,
yes, equals for riding.
Yeah. You have to either show the horse, or it's a working horse, or it's a pleasure riding horse, but the horse is not useful unless it's ridden. Mm-hmm. And there's so many horses that might have had an injury, or you can't ride them for whatever reason, maybe their age or they're blind or whatever it may be, that are such powerful healers. And these kids, you know, it's kind of like we have to change our perception of everything, of the horses, of how these kids can, you know, excavate the magic out, you know, with them being in the presence of horses. It's just very inspiring to me, the work you're doing.
Thank you.
So with these horses, that's very interesting that you also said that they volunteer or they agree to do this type of work, because that's another shift in mindset that we should all have. How many of us pick the horse and decide what the horse is going to do?
Exactly.
We don't ask the horse do you want to be a pleasure horse? Do you want to be a race horse? You know, nobody asks the horse.
Yeah. Well, and the one that I guess taught me that the most is I've become custodian, shall we say, of a very large gelding who I'm actually going up to pick up tomorrow and bring home. We've been separated for the last year while I've been on learning adventures. And he started off as they were trying to sell him as a show horse, and he was down in California and they were trying to sell him as a jumper for all of this money. And he just decided that's not what I want to do. And he started bucking people off, and he's quite talented. Like, he can jump like stink. He'd just prefer to do it when he wants to. So people were trying to sell him for all of this money, and he kept dumping his riders, and it wasn't going very well. And he ended up in North Vancouver, and they tried to make a dressage horse out of him, and that didn't work. And so he got sent up to Squamish, and I ran into him at a barn I was leasing a mare at, and they were saying, oh, yeah, we'll probably just sell him off as a trail horse or whatever. And I made them a fairly ridiculous offer on him, because I'd ridden him a couple times and liked the horse a lot. And they were like, all right. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can actually follow through on that. And the next day my income tax came in, and it was precisely the amount I'd offered for the horse. And I said, okay, I guess I have to now. And so I said to him, I said, you don't have to be a show horse. I don't want to go to shows. Let's figure out something else together. And so for a year, I just hacked him around the sidewalks of Squamish and rode him down to the beach and rode him on trails and didn't do too much in terms of formal schooling. And then started teaching kids on him very cautiously and with a lot of support. I started teaching like one-on-one riding lessons and integrating a lot of like equine guided learning concepts. So very relationship based, and how to tell what the horse is feeling and thinking, and how to be a leader in any situation. And he emerged as being this like really great teacher horse. And he's also physically talented enough that he can do the work that I would love to have to do with an autistic kid in the saddle in front of me. So in many ways, I feel like he sort of chose his path in order to get to do this work with me. And I'm hopeful that we'll get to continue. I mean, I'm hoping he doesn't change his mind.
what is this horse's name?
His name is Dublin.
Dublin. That's, you know, that's amazing. Your tax refund or whatever came in and it was exactly the amount you needed to buy him?
Yeah. I mean, my life has kind of lived in this ridiculous series of leaps where I'm like, oh goodness, I should not do this. Every logical thing in me is saying I shouldn't, but then something happens or something shows up, or like that story, the money came through and I was like, all right, I can't say no to this now. Like, how many more signs do I need? So
that is amazing. Well, so do you ever go to people who, do families ever ask you to go to them, or do they, you know, how do you do this? If I'm sensing that there's going to be people that hear about this and would like to find out more information on what you do. Do you go to people, or is it better for them to come to you?
It will be. So I'm in a period right now of creating space. A friend of mine just bought a farm, and so I'm going to be on this piece of land for a long time. And because the environment is so important, and because working with particular horses is so important to me in terms of really having that deep relationship, it will be my preference that people come to me. I'm, of course, open to that evolving, because if something happens that I can't say no to, then I probably won't. But no, it's definitely I mean, I do have a little bit of a vision for how I want to work, and having people come into a space where I can set it up so that it's a beneficial environment. There's lots to explore. There's not a lot of negative sensory triggers. It's outdoors. There's a lot of different animals to interact with. And yeah, like having a horse that I know well to do this, the ridden work with, is very, very important. So definitely doing out of home base would be preferred.
So are you near the, did you say you ride on the beach? Is that where you're located?
I used to. I'm actually 20 minutes outside of Squamish right now. I'm in the Squamish Valley, halfway between Squamish and Whistler. So I'm not quite a small sidewalk ride away from a beach, but I'm on a little property. The back of it is like old growth rainforest, and then it goes back onto the Squamish River. And so there's mountains all around. There's a waterfall pouring down the cliff, which is quite full right now because we've had a lot of rain. And all the moss in the forest is waking up. It's been super, super dormant all summer. It's been very dry. And then I love this time of year because everything just comes alive in the woods.
Oh, how beautiful. Well, see, that would make a wonderful, you know, therapeutic vacation to take with your autistic child up there. So we're going to talk more when we come back from our final break. Thank you all for joining us today. I hope you're inspired about how to work with horses and reach these autistic kids. We're speaking with Kira Willis, and we'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Ted Winslow, and as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who are looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you'll benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
Hello, I'm Lauren Skye, and I've been teaching people how to live a better life through meditation. I've developed a 7-lesson audio course called Meditation for Living. These energy skills will teach you to find peace within, to release stress and pain, and to create your life according to your true path. Isn't it time you start living the life you've always dreamed of?
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Okay, we are back and having a beautiful conversation about the magic of horses and how to look at, you know, horse therapy with autistic kids in a different way. You know, this is so much different than the traditional institutions and medications and, you know, just to get these kids outside and the energy of the healing energy of the horses is so inspiring to me. And I'm just very supportive of the work you're doing, Kira. I really hope that I can bring people to you because you're the type of person that I would love to have a huge facility if that's your path, because then you can help more people or you could teach others to do what you're doing. And, you know, that's how we can really help these kids, is to give some more alternative therapies as options for them.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us, and, you know, we only have about 7 minutes left in our show. It's gone by so quickly. I knew it would because I love listening to your stories. But can you talk a little bit about anything you really want people to know? You know, you've given us a little glimpse into your world. But what have we not talked about today that you would like to share?
My goodness, what a good invitation. I think I would just like to share that, I mean, out of this whole process of evolution, sort of the other really significant voice that has come in for me in terms of shaping how I want to do this work in the world is there's such an emergent community of autists speaking about their own lives that it's come out of the internet in the last couple of years. And to read some of these perspectives and some of these stories in these people's own words that isn't like an agency or a professional speaking for them has really changed how I approach autism and how I think about it. And I just like to urge anyone who is really curious about going deeper in pursuing either a career with autism or supporting someone in their own life who has a diagnosis to really reach out and connect to those communities that already exist of people speaking from the inside and pulling in as many voices as possible, because everyone is so unique. And so one person's experience might not speak to your child. And there's so much that's coming out. I'm just thinking like Diary of a Mom is a WordPress blog that, like, every time I read it, there's something new and wonderful that sort of reminds me that there's magic in there. It's just, there's so many perspectives that I think are valuable, and I'm happy to, you know, hopefully let some of them have a voice through what I'm doing as well and bring in some advocates to work with here as well. Is definitely part of the vision of what I would like to do.
Well, that's beautiful. And, you know, these autistic kids, they're bringing an energy to our earth. I don't know a lot about this, but I know this is true. Do you feel that vibration, that
energy? I feel like it's it's an antidote to the ways that we have hardened our hearts, to the ways in which we have decided that we know things. There's something in feeling absolute about something that blocks you from being open, that blocks you from new perspectives, that blocks you from softness. And I think if we're going to continue as a race on this planet, we need to evolve at such, I don't really want to use the word evolve, but we need to We need to cultivate radical openness, and we need to cultivate an awareness of the fact that our lives reach out so far beyond what we can actually see. And so any chance we have to step into holding possibility for someone, or holding possibility for a situation, or I think it really comes back to me for living from the heart instead of the brain. I think that that's where the shift is happening. And one of the things that's been really consistent in terms of what fascinates me is the joy that is present when I'm working with these kids, and the purity of that, and how, I mean, I wish for myself that I could cultivate that in my own life, in terms of that authenticity and rawness in experiencing the world, I think is what we are sorely in need of, and that what this energy or this presence is bringing back into our lives.
Well, it's interesting that what these autistic kids, that your perception of what they're, you know, teaching us, it feels like that's what the horses are teaching us as well, to live in that heart space
and
to be in that present moment and not that rigid structure of the old paradigm that we were all raised in, you know?
Yes.
And so it's beautiful that it's the healing that takes place when you put the horses with these autistic kids. It's been a truly inspirational and heartwarming conversation. And I really appreciate you being on the show today and sharing the work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure to share it. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. And to the audience, thank you for joining us today. And if you want to find out more information of Kara Willis and her Mountain Horse School, you can contact her at mountainhorseschool.com. And thank you all for joining us today. We know you have very busy lives, and this little moment in time that we get to spend with you, we're truly grateful. And hope that this has been enjoyable and inspirational. So God bless and have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.